Thank you and good morning. A tractor-trailer rollover just south of Kane Road on Highway 101 near Big Lagoon on Wednesday afternoon closed down the freeway for nearly 8 hours and resulted in minor injuries to the driver. Richard Hamilton was headed northbound with a flatbed load of potting soil and failed to safely negotiate a left-hand turn in the roadway, and his big rig overturned, spilling the load onto the highway and the shoulder area, completely blocking the northbound lanes. The CHP and other emergency personnel responded to the scene. The external fuel tanks were removed from the truck before it was recovered, but the operation took well into the night. Hamilton was wearing a seatbelt and suffered minor injuries in the crash. The CHP is investigating the cause of a fatal traffic collision that claimed the life of a 55-year-old Trinidad man at just after 3 o'clock Wednesday morning. The driver of the car, 54-year-old Teresa Lamberson, was headed northbound on 101 when she lost control of her Ford Focus. The car left the freeway and collided with several trees before coming to a rest on its roof in the southbound lanes near Wyatt. Lamberson suffered a broken leg in the crash while the passenger suffered fatal injuries. The cause remains under investigation and the identification of the deceased will be released pending notification of next of kin. There are now two girls who have been reported as runaways by their families, and they were reportedly seen together at a gas station on Pine Hill Road in Eureka last Thursday, March 5th. The family of 15-year-old Alisa Ely and the family of 14-year-old Aislinn Massey believe their girls could be in the company of two adult men who were seen in an older model blue Chevy Suburban with white markings. Ely is a 5'8", 150-pound Samoan girl with brown eyes and shoulder-length brown hair. Massey is 5'6", 130 pounds, with brown eyes and brown hair, and neither has been in contact with their family since last week. Anyone with information is asked to contact authorities. The effort to tighten the non-medical exemptions for childhood vaccines is underway in California, and there were plans from an Oregon state senator to make the state of Oregon next in line for removing non-medical exemptions for those child vaccinations. State Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward of Beaverton introduced Senate Bill 442, which would have removed non-medical exemptions, and if passed, the law would have been as tough as laws in West Virginia and Mississippi, which allow for no exemptions. They consequently have the highest rates of vaccinated children. Oregon has the highest rate of exemptions and unvaccinated kids. Nearly 8% of kindergartners in Oregon schools attend school with those exemptions, far above the national average. The bill has died in committee, however, after Hayward declined to pursue it and was faced with backlash from parents and lawmakers who believe a parent's right to not vaccinate their children overrides public safety. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. The city of Eureka held a public meeting on Wednesday night to outline plans for a new entrance at the south end of the city, where Highway 101 ends and the city streets begin. City officials have plans for traffic calming and beautification to better present the city to new travelers entering the county seat for the first time. That project is worthwhile, but City Manager Greg Sparks is searching for better funding sources for the maintenance of the rest of Eureka's streets, roadways he finds in poor condition.
I think they're pretty bad. You know, we've got some main arterials that are in pretty good shape, but a lot of residential roads are in tough condition. And even roads that, you know, serve the business districts are not as good as they should be. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Spark said that much of the street maintenance money comes from the federal highway users tax, but that funding keeps dropping, meaning that any shortfalls must be made up from the city's general fund.
For a city of 28,000, we're bordered by developed part of the county, and that brings a lot of traffic through certainly the primary city streets. And then being a regional center with 101 and our commercial district, right, a lot of traffic. I was just seeing the other day I think the traffic count on South Broadway was 31,000 cars a day.
Sparks said that city staff are working with the city council to find new sources of revenue. City streets and maintenance are too important to ignore. And that's the news on this Thursday morning. For KINS News and Information, I'm Dan Squire.